And just remain standing while we read this, and then we can be seated after the reading of the Word of God. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 6. Malachi 1 and verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread unto my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us, that this hath been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Accursed be the deceiver, which hath his flock of male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. All right, you can be seated. That's reading tonight, verses 6 through verse number 14 of the first chapter of the book of Malachi. Now we come to the second of our series of messages that we began last week. Last week we took the first five verses and saw the message concerning a forgotten love of God's people toward the God of heaven. Now tonight I want us to look at a next step or a progression of sequences that happen when you lose your love. The next thing that will happen is that you will get tired of serving the Lord. Now this thing of serving God is something that is out of a heart of love and compassion, not out of a heart of necessity. Amen. God does not desire our love. He demands our love. He demands that we honor Him with the very best that we have. Of course, He does desire that we love Him. He demands that we love Him. But He wants us to do that of a willing heart and of a willing soul. And when we get to the point that we've lost our love for the Lord, as we saw last week, then the next step in this progression is that we will get tired of what we call serving the Lord. Now, there's a lot of folks tonight that are tired of serving God. There's a lot of folks tonight that are not in the house of God. They're not in the place of the work of God because somewhere down the line, they lost their love and they got tired of serving God. Anytime we lose our love, whatever it is, then we get tired of doing that. Let me say this. If you get tired of loving one another, you're going to get tired of serving one another in your home. Now let that sink in. If you get tired of each other, before long you won't serve each other. Then not only that, you can go to the house of God. When you get tired of serving God, when you lose that love for the Lord, then you're going to get tired of going to church. When you go a little farther than that and you get directly in the relationship with the God of heaven, and you just simply get out of fellowship with God, before long, you'll not serve Him in any avenue of your life. Whether it be at the home, at the church, or even on the job. Let me say this, if you get tired of, if you lose that desire to serve your employer, before long, you won't be doing your job as you used to do. You won't be serving, you won't be giving of your time and of your effort. The problem in America today, and I hear it from every hand of folks that are trying to hire people and have a business of communication with people, is that they cannot find hardly anyone that will do their job. That's a poor example. That's a poor thing to be said about America, a nation that's had everything that we've had. Amen. We've come down to the point that if I don't have my rights and If I don't have everything just like everybody thinks I ought to have them, then I'll just not work. I'll go somewhere else. I'll do something else. You know what's happened? We've lost our desire to serve that which has given us all the things that we have tonight. Now, you may think you work at the worst place in the world, but you better be thankful that you're even working. You may think you have the worst job on the face of God's earth, but it could be a lot worse. You might not be. You might be in a bread line next year. Amen. You might be in a place where you don't have a job, and then you wish you had what you used to have. I get so tired, I get so disturbed when I hear people talking about their employer and talking about their place of work, how bad it is. If it's that bad, why don't you go find something else?
Yep.
Oh, I throw that in for nothing. But really, folks, we ought to be thankful for what God has given to us in America, because we have come to the point that we think everything has been handed to us freely and has been given to us.
Amen.
And I want us to think tonight about the verse that we have here in the Scripture in verse number 13. I take my text from verse 13. It says, "Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. What a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this in your hand? Saith the Lord." That verse says, "Behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it." You know, if we would put that in our own language, in modern day English, we would think and we would say that that these folks just literally turned their nose up at the offerings of God. They thought how weary it is that I have to do these things. How much trouble it is that I have to go about and do all these things that God has told me to do. And you say, well, that was the priest speaking here. But you find in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We of the New Testament, one of the most practical doctrines of the Word of God is the priesthood of the believer. That we tonight can go directly to God. We are our own priest. We don't need a priest. We don't need someone else. But we can go in direct access to God and ask God those things that we need. And so therefore, if we get weary in the things of the Lord and we want to give Him those things that are not as first class as they ought to be, and by the way, I believe we ought to give God the best of everything we have. I've heard people say, well, I'll give the Lord this many years. No, God's given you years to give back to Him. And I've heard preachers say, well, I spent so many years of my life there at that place. No, God gave you the ability to do that. And I believe we ought to give the best of what we've got. It doesn't matter if it's in Madisonville, Kentucky. It doesn't matter if it's in Illinois. It doesn't matter if it's in Tennessee. It doesn't matter if it's in Africa. It doesn't matter where it might be. We ought to give the best of what we've got to the Lord, because He gave the best of what He had to us. And that was His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He does not desire that we give Him second, third, fourth place. We ought to give Him the best. But the Bible says here, these priests that had profaned the table of the Lord, they said, what weariness it is. They were just simply tired of serving God. And they wanted to get out of it. And they wanted to do it their own way. Now, in these verses of Scripture that I've just read, there are three things that the priest of Israel did that are seen in the people of God today. And I don't believe it'd take us long tonight to get through with this. So I want you to listen. If you listen real fast, I promise I'll try to talk real fast, and we'll get out of here. But I want to think, first of all, these people of Israel, they dishonored the person of God. Look in verse number 6, in the first portion of it. It says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts." Now here we find that God declares a twofold relationship between He and His people. First of all, we find He gives us a father-son relationship. Now it was mandatory in the Hebrew culture that a child be obedient unto his parents in Israel. I mean, there wasn't any question about it. Under the Hebrew culture, if you had a boy, if you had a girl, they were obedient unto you. Whatever you said to do, they did that. It was a capital offense, it was a capital crime, or could be at least, if a person or if a child disobeyed their parents in the Hebrew culture, they could literally be stoned to death. And God says here that I am a father, and we are His children, we're His son, and therefore He demands that we have that relationship between father and son. And folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that it's a capital crime against God when we do not serve the Lord the best of our ability to God and don't give Him our all in all. It's a crime against heaven when we do that. We do not serve God, we dishonor the person of the Lord. The heart cry of God to Israel was, I'm your father, where is my honor? I'm your father, he says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, where is my honor? God looked down on Israel, and of course the book of Malachi is given to a people that's far removed from God. It's a people that are so away from God, they do not hear the voice of God, and God gets so disgusted with his people that Malachi is the last prophet of God for 400 years until John the Baptist comes on the scene in the New Testament. And so God is disgusted with them because they've dishonored the name and dishonored the person of the God of heaven. He gives us a father-son relationship, how that we're to honor him. And folks, tonight we're to honor God. He's our master. He's our Lord. He's our father. We have that fellowship. We have that relationship that we are the children of God. We've been born, we've been placed into the family of the God of heaven, and therefore he's our Father, and we're to honor him, and we're to do that according to the Word of God. Not only does he give us a father-son relationship, but we find a master-servant relationship. He tells us there, if I be a master, where is my fear? God says he is a master, and we're a servant. If we're a servant, therefore we're an obligation to be submissive to God. If God tells us to do something, well, I'll just say, yes, sir. I'll just say, I'm reporting for duty. I'm here to go on the Word of God and to go in the will of God and the work of God. I'm here to follow out the command that you give me. Why? Because you're my master. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's my master. And therefore, I'm to have that relationship as a servant unto him. The word servant just simply has a connotation, has the meaning that we're a bond slave. And that means that we have been bought and we've been purchased, and therefore we're under obligation. We owe our life to our master. Folks, I'm glad tonight that I owe my life to the Lord. I owe my life to Jesus Christ. Brother Steve, you owe your life to the Lord. Before you got saved, you're in a terrible, terrible condition. Not only you, but every one of us in here tonight, before we come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were in the depths of sin, going just as fast and as hard and as straight to hell as we could. And yes, God brought us out of that, and he's placed us in a new realm, and he's put us in a new kingdom, the kingdom of his dear Son. Therefore, I owe him my life and my soul and my eternity for what he did. He's my master. Jesus Christ is Lord, and above all, he's the master of those of us that are children of God. Paul uses that same term when he talks about being a bondservant or a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a servant of God. We are the children of God all our lives. We owe him our love. We owe him our honor. We owe him our obedience. We owe him everything because of what he did for us on Calvary. May we never dishonor the person of God as these folks did. God said, I'm your father, but where's my honor? God says, I'm your master, but where is the fear? And that word fear doesn't mean being afraid of. We've gone over this before, but it just shows a reverential fear of God, being reverence to God. Folks, we live in a world and society, they snub their nose at God, just like the book here says they did. We live in a society that they laugh at God. We live in a society that says God's dead. We live in a world that thinks nothing of God whatsoever. For the most part, they have no thought of God. They retain not God not in their knowledge. They have gone their own way, and they far away from the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us here that they said, we're wearied of it, and they've snubbed at it. They've snubbing their nose. You've heard people say, well, they just think they're a little better than I. There's most people today think they're a little better than God.
Yeah. Right. Sir, brother, that's right.
They think they're better than God. They think they can do what they want to do, and God doesn't do anything, doesn't care about that. But I'm glad to tell you the Word of God tells me tonight that God does care. And God does love us, and God does see where we are, and God sees what we need, and God will take care of his own. Right. You can put it down, if you're a child of God, God will chasten you. God will rebuke you.
Right.
God will take his word and he'll cut you. He'll take the message from the preacher, the word of God. He'll even take it from a song. He'll take the word of God and cut your heart right where you're sinning. If you reject that, he'll come with another direction. He'll come with another way. He'll bring about turmoil in your life. That is, if you're saved. It would be a terrible thing for a person to say, well, the Lord's never chastened me. I'd be afraid to say that. My Bible says the Lord chastens those whom he loveth. Those whom he cares for. Those who are in the family, that relationship. Those of us that are servants of God. When we get out of line, God rebukes us for that. And the Word of God very clearly teaches that. Not only here do we find that they dishonored the person of God, but I want to get down to this second point in verses 6 through 13, that they despised the name of God. Now, these are the people of Israel. These are the prophets of Israel. These are the religious of their day. And they despised the name of God. You say, oh, I'd never do that. Well, be careful. Notice here what the scripture says in the latter portion of verse number 6. It says, O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now the word name here just simply refers and means the covenant name of God, which we know as Jehovah. It's the Jehovah God of Israel, that is covenant God, that comes and makes promises to us. And God had made promise after promise after promise to Israel. And now they had, through these actions that they were doing, showing the world that they despised the very name of that God of heaven, Jehovah. It's a dangerous thing to snub your nose at God. It's a dangerous thing to turn your back on God. It's a dangerous thing to go the wrong direction from God. We find here that God accuses them. And he said, you have despised my name. And they asked for evidence of that. And they said, when have we despised thy name? And you know, they didn't even believe God when he told them what they'd done. And so God answers their question in that latter part of verse number 6 and verse number 7. The evidence that his name was despised is found right here in what they did. It was evident in their sacrifices. We read these verses 7 through 12. We'll not read them again, but you'll find that in the sacrifices that they were giving those animals that were lame. They were giving those animals that were something wrong with them. They were not perfect. They were not what they should have been. And God said, if you think that's so good, why don't you give those to your governor? Why don't you give that thing that you give to me, why don't you take that back and give it to your ruler, give it to your governor, give it to your king, and see what he'll do with that. And folks, we know that the world would not take many times what we offer God, but we know God's up there and he'll take what we offer. Yeah. God doesn't have to take what we offer him. God wants us to give of ourselves. God wants us to put the best on for him and to serve him the best of our ability. If you used to read tonight in the book of Leviticus chapter number 22 and verses 1 and 2 and on down through that chapter, and also in the book of Exodus chapter 22, you'll find that God says to the people of Israel, so when you bring a sacrifice, you bring the best of the flock. You bring the best male of the flock. He says, without spot, without blemish. Not that it be a broken leg on it, not that it be a blemish on it. It says not to even have a scab on his skin anywhere. God said he wanted the sacrifice that was given to him in the tabernacle and in the temple. God said, I want that to be the very best of what you've got. And folks, God still desires that today. He wants the best of what we are. He wants the best of what we've got. He wants us. And if we'll do that, God will bless from heaven and shower down the blessings from on high. And God will bless us and give us those things that are so needed in our life. And we just say, God, I'm just giving you myself. That's the best I've got.
Go,
you know what God will do? He'll give you more than you ever thought you'd have.
Amen.
He'll give and he'll give and he'll give, but all of a sudden we get tight on God. All of a sudden we get to the point and say, well, I've got to keep this back for me. Well, that I'm sure those Jewish people, when they saw that lamb that was born, a perfect, a spotless lamb, they said, boy, that'd make a nice one. We need to keep that, and we'll put that one up, and we'll kill that for food, or we'll keep that one for food, when God said give it to him. And they said, we'll hold back on that, and here's a little old scrawny lamb. We're going to kill it anyway. We're going to give it to God anyway. That doesn't matter. Oh, but folks, it does matter what we give to God. It does matter what attitude our heart is in when we come before the Lord. As a child of God tonight, we ought to give him our all in all. We ought to give him everything to say, God, here it is. So these folks, they despise the name of God in their sacrifices. God gave his best. Why can't we give our best? In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 18 and 19, it says, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood. Notice this. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That lamb that God told the people of Israel to give to him in sacrifices was to typify and was to point to the Lamb of God that was to come, that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It was to show that Jesus Christ was the pure, spotless, perfect, redemptive Son of God that ever could be. No spot, no blemish, nothing wrong with him. And every time they offered that offering of the lamb, they were pointing to the Son of God. And then they got to the point and said, well, we'll give these little things that don't matter. All that also pointed to the Son of God, showing that he might have problems. He might have a spot. He might have a blemish. But thank God tonight we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb that's without spot. That Lamb that's without blemish. That Lamb that's without wrinkle. That Lamb that has not one little thing wrong with him. Jesus Christ, the perfect propitiation for my sin. The sacrifice taking my place. He was all the one worthy. You see, excuse me, you see, sin has to be paid for. Somebody said, well, I'm going to live any way I want to live and die. Go ahead, you will. But you're going to pay for your sin. The only problem with that is that you'll never be able to pay for your sin. Payment will never come. That's why it took a perfect lamb. That's why it took a blood sacrifice. Now, I know this modernist crowd today, they hate the blood. They hate the preaching on the blood. They hate the singing of the blood. They hate everything about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil has his ways and means of moving and taking people around and making things sound good and all the time taking the blood out. But folks, the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is not any remission of sin. Not the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the shedding of his blood. It was a blood sacrifice. That's what God had from Genesis all the way until the cross of Calvary. A sacrifice of blood. And we find that these folks, the evidence was that they despised the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the name of God because they used that which was not pointing and not a perfect picture of the Son of God. They disregarded God's altar and they used unfit sacrifices. They did everything. You know what? Under the law, every little old lamb or everything that was not right, you know what the law said that was good for? Well, we'd call it dog food. Here, just think about it. Here's the people of God offering God dog food. Lord. Boy, I thought about that. I said, my Lord, my soul, how many times have I offered him that which I'd throw to the dogs? No wonder he said, give it to your governors. That's what he says here. It says in verse number 8, it says, and if you offer blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? God says, you'll give me those old things that don't matter. Well, instead of giving it to God, just take it down here to your governor. Instead of giving it to me, why don't you offer that to your king? Instead of giving that to God, why don't you offer those little old things that are insignificant to us? Take a lamb that's got a broken leg, give it to your king. Take that one that's about to die anyway and give it to your governor. See what he does with that. He'll do with it the same thing God does. He'll not accept it. And God will not accept those kind of offerings that we give unto him. Many times we're guilty of the same thing. We need to give our best to the Master. We need to give everything we've got. I remember a song we used to sing. I looked it up this afternoon. It says, give of your best to the Master. Give of your strength of your youth. Give the best to your Master. Give him first place in your heart. That third standard says, give the best to the Master, else worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Oh, tonight that ought to be our desire, to give the Lord Jesus Christ the best, the best, the best, the best that we have. No wonder they said we're tired. No wonder they said, behold, what a weariness it is. There's folks all over this country tonight. There's people all over Madisonville, Kentucky tonight. And they've got to the point of saying, boy, I'm weary of serving God. You know why they're weary? Because they're giving the wrong thing.
That's right.
You know why they're giving the wrong thing? Because they've lost their love.
Amen.
You know why they've lost their love? Because they've got away from God. Now, the Bible really clearly tells us that we're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, every ounce of fiber, every ounce of being that we've got, we're to give unto the Lord. And if we'll do that, then God has promised us that He will bless us. And He'll do for us those things that need to be done in our life. But these folks, they disregarded, they despised the very name of God. But I'm glad, thank God, there's a day coming when the whole world will know who God is.
Yes.
Notice there in verse number 11. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name. Now this name that's despised among Israel is the same name that one day, the Bible says, my name shall be great among the who? Gentiles. Thank God that's you and I. The Jew would not accept him, so he turned unto the Gentile. Jesus said, I came unto my own received me not. But to as many as received me, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Become the children of God, the sons of God. We have been placed where the Jew was. And thank God his name has become great among the Gentiles. But that's just a little foreshadow of what's going to be yet in the future. That's just a little taste of what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, when he rules and reigns from the throne of David. That's just a little bit of taste of what his name's going to be magnified and glorified then. So we find here that we are to not despise the name of God, but we're to look to him and love him. And then we find in verse number 14 that they disregarded the glory of God. They would not recognize the glory of the God of heaven, and neither do we. It says, but cursed it be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. He said, cursed be that one that has what he ought to have, and then he gives that which he ought not to give. They disregarded the glory of God. He says, for I am a great king. Aren't you glad tonight we serve a great king? Brother Steve, there's no way in this world, humanly speaking, that you could raise $12,000.
That's right.
But we serve a great king.
Amen.
We serve a great God. God has the key to everything. Well, I was just thinking the other day, we was talking about that. We had count meeting here back in October, and God came down. I've never taken up an offering like that in my life. May never do it again, but I sure enjoyed it. I remember Brother Tom back there. He pulled his pockets out. He said, "I don't have any more money." But we had given it all. We had placed it all on the Lord and said, "God, here it is." And just 3 or 4 days, we raised $5,200. And Brother Steve come back in December and knocked $1,000, and I'll be if he didn't walk away that night with $1,000. That's from a congregation of just a few people. That shows me, and that should have shown to all of us, that God can do what he desires to do when we're willing to give of ourselves to him. Well, there's no way, humanly speaking, that when I know all the things that go on in this world, there's no way that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be existing tonight. Not the way it's been persecuted. Not the way it's been torn down. Not the way it's been ridiculed. Not the way that the devil has worked on it. Thank God there's still the church and it marches on.
Amen.
There's going to be one till the Lord comes again. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ established his church. He gave it walking and working orders and a command to go in all the world. There's no way, humanly speaking, if you used to run a business like most people run a church, it'd go out of business in about 3 weeks. But it's the glory of God, the God of heaven, that keeps everything right on keel. Just the way it ought to be. Just the way that things ought to run. Why? Because he said, I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now the word heathen just means those that know him not. When you hear about God, I'm telling you, folks will begin to have fear of God. When you hear about the works of God, they begin to fear what God could do. I tell you, that Thursday night here at Camp Meeting, I was afraid to do very much of anything. Oh, God was here. God was real, and everything was working just in order. And when people hear about that, folks, I'm glad they hear about the great God and our Savior,
yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I've got something to say tonight. I'm glad I've got a message from this book, a message to people. And if they will believe that, he'll become their king just like he's my king.
Amen.
He's my master. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. If we'll take him and trust him, he'll bless us above all of those things that we would think. God says, I'm a great king. That word great is used 3 times in the first chapter. It's used twice here in verse number 11, once in verse number 14. And then if you look in verse number 5, you'll find the word magnify, and that's the same word that could have been translated great. And so we find that God is a great God. He's a great king. And everything that he does for you and everything that he does for me is great in all aspects. Has God ever done anything for you that was not great? Not me. Everything God has done for me has been in my mind and in the minds of folks. If they knew all about it, they'd say, boy, God did a great work. Why, God saved you, didn't He? That's a miracle in itself. God saved you and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. God's called us and God's given us a place of worship. God's given us a place of service. God's given us a place where we can serve Him. May we never become weary in serving Him. The Bible says here, they said, oh, what a weariness it is. When you get to that point, you better fall on your face before God and say, God, it doesn't need to be a weariness. We'll be guilty of not giving our best to the Lord. And when we give Him our little frail service to God and say, well, I went to church Sunday morning. That doesn't have a thing to do with your service to God. That doesn't move you one ounce closer, one inch closer to God. What's the attitude of your heart? What's the attitude of your soul? What's the attitude of your life? What's your attitude toward God? A lot of folks go to church, but they don't get anything out of it. A lot of folks go to the house of God, but they don't hear anything. A lot of folks go just to be seen, and they don't get anything out of it. What's your attitude tonight, serving God? Don't let it be second rate. Don't let it be down the line. Give God your best. If you're not careful, if you just do it, I'll tell you one thing. If you just do it because you think it'll please me, somewhere you'll get tired of pleasing me.
Amen.
I've seen people, they take their little cards, they say, I will not do this. I will not do this other. And they'll sign, they'll write down all those things. They'll sign their name to it. And they'll turn it in. That makes me spiritual. That doesn't do anything.
Amen.
We talk about the Pharisees, and sometimes we're the biggest Pharisees on God's earth.
Right.
If you don't do, Brother Crumpton touched on this, if you don't do certain things just because you know somebody don't want you to do certain things, somewhere down the line that'll weary you. But if you do it because you know it'll hurt the Lord, if you stay clean because you know if you don't, it'll hurt your testimony, and it'll hurt the name of Christ. If that's the reason you don't, you'll not get weary in that.
Amen.
If I dress a certain way as a preacher, if I do that just because it's expected of preachers, you know where somewhere down the line I get tired of dressing like a preacher. But if I dress the way I dress because I love God, then now I'm not getting tired of that.
Amen.
You see, it's not my relationship to people. It's my relationship to the Lord.
Amen.
It's not what people see in me. It's not what people say about me. But it's what my Heavenly Father knows about me.
Amen.
Now you can, for years, we have educated people into the family of God, and they're going to die and go to hell. We've given them all the answers. We come up and say a little prayer and say this after me and you'll be saved. And they don't know one thing a bit about repenting of their sin, turning to God. And my Bible tells me, unless you repent, you shall perish. We've done all the things that everybody has sold. We've been sold a bill of goods down through the years. We were told for a long time, if you had the entertainment of the world, that'd draw a crowd. It sure does. It draws the worldly crowd. I was in a church when I was in college. They did everything in the world. I mean, they did everything. I finally got fed up and decided that wasn't for me. But I mean, they'd have a special day every week. And every week had to build. Every week had to be bigger. And you know what kind of crowd they drew? Boy, I mean, there was excitement in that place. Just like a circus. But I find that when the tents leave town, and there's no more elephants, and there's no more tigers, and there's no more chimpanzees, when there's no more of that, then I find that the excitement left, and so did that worldly crowd. Boy, I tell you, I'd rather have people built upon this blessed old book right here.
Yes, yes, yes.
If preaching of the Word of God doesn't get it done, folks, well, just forget it. Now, I'm not against doing some things to help people, and I don't take me wrong. But folks, when you get people in the house of God, you need to give them what thus saith the Lord. You need to give them this book. And teach people that you need to give your best. Give your life. You say, oh, if I give my life, I'm afraid the Lord will call me to do something. Just give your life. He might just keep you right where you are. I'm afraid if I just give over everything to the Lord, He might tell me to go somewhere. Well, if He does, if you've given your life, you won't care. But He might just put you right in the house of God as to serve the Lord. Grace Baptist Church needs people that serve God. Grace Baptist Church needs people that get on fire for God and serve the Lord and honor God. Get where God is and just say, Lord, what do you want me to do today and tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month and next year? Just get your feet founded solid on the rock and go forth for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have crowds that run and go to and fro. You just need to find somewhere to serve the Lord. Honor the Lord. I heard Dr. Seitler say the other day, and I appreciated this. Doc's been pastor there in Tabernacle for years. I mean, a long, long time. And his days are few. I heard the message this morning, and sometimes you barely understand him. Speech is so very slurred, and the disease that he has is taking its toll on him. He's on up in years. And he told his congregation, he said, somewhere down the line you get some modernist and some liberal preacher said, don't you be a member of this church. You know what he's saying? Serve God. Be where the Lord is. There's a lot of folks that are members of churches around the country because grandma and grandpa was there, and if they's alive tonight, they wouldn't be there.
Right,
brother. Well, I'm going to go down here to church because that's where my mom and dad and where my grandpa and where all my family's buried. Yeah, they're just about as dead as the church you're in. Nothing there. And if grandma and grandpa and mom and dad used to be on fire for God, now the Lord's already taken them home, if they were alive, they wouldn't even be around that place because they love the Lord. And I appreciate what Dr. Seitler said. He said, if for some reason, some way, that a modernist slips in here and a rebel slips in here, said, don't you stay around here. Now there's a man that's put his life in one particular church and telling his people, said, don't you stay here if it don't stay right. Folks, I believe that's the way it ought to be. If a church don't stay right, y'all get where one is right.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. Get where the Lord can bless you. Give of your best unto the Master. Why? Because He's Master. He's Father. He's our relationship. And He's the King and God of glory.
Yes,
if you don't have Him in that relationship, you'll not be weary in your work. You're not weary. You'll not get tired of serving the Lord. Let's stand tonight.